Welcome, welcome everyone to Rock Zone 360. My name is Bob and I'm your host. We got a nice interview and a great album review this week, so stick around for that.
Fair use is a limitation and exception to the exclusive right granted by copyright law to the author of a creative work. In United States copyright law, fair use is a doctrine that permits limited use of copyrighted material without acquiring permission from the rights holders. Some examples of fair use include commentary, criticism, parody, and teaching. Promotes the music played on the show and urges its listeners to purchase said music from the artist's official website, iTunes, or Amazon.com.
And we will be back with this week's album review right after this. We'll be right back. And that was the new Metallica, Sleepwalk My Life Away, off the newest album, 72 Seasons. In this week's album review, I'm going to review the newest album from Metallica, 72 Seasons. Now, I hesitated to review this album because I'm not really a Metallica fan, and I didn't know for sure if I could give it, a fair shake. But after listening to the album 4 or 5 times, I realize my opinion of it has not changed from the first listen to the fourth. So I believe I am giving it a fair shake. Folks, this album is Metallica. That's about all I can say about it. There are a couple songs on there that sound like they want to bring back the old thrash style, but it never really creates itself and doesn't lend itself to going that direction. Lars has one song in here where he actually, I believe, plays some fills in his drumming. The rest of it sounds machine operated like it usually does. And that's not to say a bad thing, it's just how it is with him. He's not the only one like that, but, he's the one that gets called out for it the most. The album is 80 minutes long, almost an hour and a half, and the first song sounds like the last song. It's very, very tough listen for me. Very hard to listen. Every song sounds the same. Nothing new. The two good things on the album are James Hetfield's vocals sound really good, and Robert Trujillo's bass playing is exceptional. Other than that, it's about a 5 out of 10 for me, folks. 5 out of 10, Metallica, 72 Seasons.
Dude, I've had the microphone on this whole time. I think maybe we stumbled into a podcast here.
Did we just stumble into an interview?
Jacoby, Papa Roach, thank you so much for being here.
Yo, it's great to be here.
I don't want to dive in with the questions right away. First of all, I want to know, how you doing, man?
Well, life, life rips so long as I let it, you know what I mean? And I found myself recently kind of getting in the way of that. Yeah, just getting in the way of myself I honestly had a meltdown like 3 days ago, like a full-on like freak out. And I was an asshole to my brother, to my wife, to anybody that I came in contact with, and it was just like I didn't know how to I know how to stop, pause, and reflect and halt and are you hungry, angry, lonely, or tired?
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
I do not.
It's just sometimes when you're in the trench and you're freaking out, like, I just had a meltdown, man. I just broke down crying. And I just finished up my last show of the year. I'm coming up. I got to get a surgery pretty soon. And
what do you think that meltdown was because of the last show of the year? You got some stuff coming up. What do you think it is?
I just had a tooth pulled like 2 days ago. All this kind of like minor health stuff that I've avoided dealing with because I've just been on the road running and gunning, ripping. I'm like, all right, now I got to pause and it's time for some self-care.
Well, let me tell you, me and dentists do not get along. Going to the dentist is just a fucking crazy thing to do. It's a crazy experience.
Bro, I just had a, have you ever had a tooth like just straight pulled? Oh! I was sitting in the chair, right? And I go up to this guy and been there in like 15 years to this old guy because he took my medical coverage. And I went up there and he's like, all right, we're going to have to pull this thing. And they numb me up, the whole deal. And I'm like, I had some pretty traumatic stuff as a child happen around some teeth and mouth injuries.
What, did you get punched in the face?
No, I went on a sledding accident and smashed my teeth inside my brother's head. And like left a tooth in the back of his skull. And it was like, just one of those events in my life. Where I was like,
yes.
And so I'm sitting in this dental chair with this guy's got this like, maybe like a shoehorn in my mouth. I don't know what the hell this guy's got in my mouth. And he's like pulling on my tooth. And all of a sudden I'm like 10 years old and I'm sitting in this dental chair just going, oh fuck.
I know, it's unreal. They feel so huge and you look at them and they're tiny. But they feel so, so big. But anyway, bringing it back, getting back to you, this is Mental Health Awareness Month, and that's why I have you on here, and you know that. And it's like every time I see you, videos or whatever on stage, does it feel like the first fucking time you've ever been on stage? Does it feel like, you know, everything's new again to you?
Well, I would say that there's this wild freedom in that, in a sense. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you, like, nurture your inner child and still have this ability adult, I feel that there's this, that's where the magic lives for me, you know? Because it's like, when I was a young kid, I'm just a dreamer, a wild dreamer. I had these crazy dreams. I want to be, you know, I got a wiffle ball bat and I'm in my front yard and I'm doing windmill guitar swings, wigging out with a wiffle ball bat. And my parents are going, "What's this guy doing?" I'm like, "Mom, I'm getting ready. I want to be a rock star." You know what I mean? Like, childlike faith and just knowing that that was going to be the mark that I was going for, and just having enough, like, bits of grandeur, like delusions of grandeur, mm-hmm. just enough, you know, like not to just go completely over the edge. But I think that when you got a little bit of that delusions of grandeur going on, like, but then you could still adult, that's where the magic lies for me.
I'll bring it back to that, but I want to talk about, you know, the lexicon of you and the lexicon of your music and of music today, but you've got something that's special. You have a way of connecting with the young people, even though, you know, let's face it, you and I are not spring chickens, but you have a way of connecting with young people. And is it because you feel like a kid again yourself when you go out on stage, or how's that working out?
I think what it is that it's like being involved in music and creativity and art culture, musical culture, there's a timelessness to it. You know, you step into it and it's like, it's not about how long you been here. It's about, what do you got right now? Who are you? What are you bringing to the table? You know, what kind of fire are you bringing? What kind of energy are you bringing to the stage? How do you make people feel when they're around you? How do you make people feel at your rock show? How do people feel when they leave your rock show? You know, like, what impact are you making? I think that that's the importance of it all. And, you know, I just saw the Chili Peppers the other night, right? And I see Flea backstage and he's warming up and he's just grinding on that bass for like an hour and a half. And I'm like, this dude's still he's still a student of his craft. Like, Chili Peppers ain't done. They still got more to tell you, and they're getting up there and ripping it and having a blast. You know what I'm saying? Dancing around in a kilt and a freaking fishnet shirt, entertaining me like it was just lovely, you know. And P. Roach, we doing that same thing.
I've listened to your new album several times, and I don't listen to your music all the time or a lot, but I'm familiar with it. I don't have to gas anybody up. If I like it, I like it. If I don't, I don't. And I'll tell you. And I don't mean to offend anybody, but, you know, this one here, you knocked out of the park. I think the younger crowd is really going to attach themselves to this one. But how did you get there? How did you get to the point on this album that spoke to you? How did you get this done like that?
So, here we are, 2019 on tour, 2020 on tour. I don't know what it was. I forget. The pandemic set in and we didn't know what to do with our lives. We went home and packed it up and, you know, I didn't realize I needed a break. And then I got a break and then that break became a little too long of a break. I'm like, boys, we need to get creative.
Do you start feeling a little bit crazy or what?
Yeah, it's just starting kind of a little spun out, you know, as well as so many other people. So, you know, we decided we need to make a record. So we rented a house down in Temecula, California. And we rolled in there. We had our producers, a couple engineers, the band, and a friend of ours that was a chef. And he cooked for us. And we made music 24 hours a day, it seemed like, for a month straight until the wheels fell off. I think we left that place, like, absolutely depleted, like, leveled, just had nothing left to offer creatively. And broke down a lot of walls, emotionally, stylistically, and just made what we believed would be the best snapshot in time of music that we could do.
I noticed also you've changed record companies. What was the meaning behind that, or was it contracts, or what was it?
So our contract was up with our record company Better Noise at the time. And we were renegotiating a deal with them, and we were like, you know what? I feel like it's time we go take the temperature outside the circle here and just see what's out there. I need to know. And so we met with Concord, we met with Fearless, we met with Spine Farm, I believe Glass Noter. We met with a slew of them. And then we met with ADA, which is a artist services kind of record deal type thing, partnership. And we weighed it all out, and a couple of the guys in the band were just like, I feel it's time. We got to do this. We got to resurrect New Noise and do this ourselves. Let's utilize ADA as our infrastructure, take our creative, our team, our, you know, our content creators, our video directors, our art directors. Let's go over there. Let's get in a room and see what we can do, because we have the record's done. It's ready to go. Let's see. Let's brain hurricane on this thing. And we realized, like, you know, you hear about the music industry and the wizard behind the curtain. Well, guess what? I'm learning to become the wizard. That's the deal, right? Everybody in the band is now, our goal is to become a wizard. And it's not rocket science. You know, it's like, make great music and service your fans with entertainment.
You know, Infest was such a fabulous album, and it did well for you guys. But how did you feel you could top, how the fuck did you ever think you could top that? And did you know that this album, Ego Trip, was going to become one of the biggest albums at the time?
Dude, I'll tell you, when we were dropping Infest, we were like, we're going to get in the van. We're going to go tour. Maybe we'll sell like 250,000. We're going to go work our ass off, just like we've done all the time. And then we turned in our demos to the record company, and they were like, we don't hear it. It was with Warner Brothers. We had a demo deal, and they were like, we don't hear it. Like, dude, okay, I'm sitting on a van in San Francisco, and the van's on a hill, like at about a 30-degree angle, and I'm just sitting, and all the blood just rushing up my head because I was laying down in the back of the van. We were leaving, and we get this message. They're going to pass. And it was just like, oh. Like we'd gotten passed on by everybody. And we really felt like we were on the precipice of greatness, you know? And they were like, nope, we don't hear it. The A&R had gotten fired in the process. So you guys are welcome to walk with these demos, and you could shop them elsewhere. And right in a 10-minute period, we're like, all right, cool, we got a plan. Like, we're going to shop this thing, but if not, we're just going to drop it independently, and we're just going to start touring around, because that's what we had been doing at the time. And just, like, go out there and hustle it. I had this mantra, what the fuck, Papa Roach, $5 with a boombox on my shoulder, you know, at the Korn show or the Deftones show or the Limp Bizkit show coming through town. What the fuck, Papa Roach, $5, selling our stuff to the people that were going to those shows. And so we had this wild hustler spirit, you know. So it was, like, very defeating for like about 10 minutes, and then I was like, you know what, man, we've been done this, like, let's just keep pressing on. And then next thing you know, we're mixing these demos down in North Hollywood.
I had to put this the right way. Were you still fucked up at this point?
You know, at this point in my life, I was like, I was drinking and partying, but it really hadn't gotten a hold of me like real bad. I was working a day job, you know, and I was like functioning. I wasn't too loose and too crazy. It wasn't till, you know, I went on tour for Infest that I believe, like, the alcoholism, that alcoholic lifestyle, like, it really took over. That's when it, like, just full tilt boogie.
I know I'm not telling you anything new on this, but for people that are listening, addiction is considered a mental illness as well as addiction. Just heads up for everybody on that one. Now, why do you think you were allowed to do this? Is it because you were in a popular band and you just thought you could do whatever you wanted to do and people would co-sign that, or what was your thinking on that?
We wanted to rage, man. We all just wanted to rage, and we had people to co-sign it. And, you know, it was like, I felt like I was in the 80s for like a couple of years. I was like, let's go, dude.
Well, tell me this. Do you regret it at all?
A lot of great times then, and a lot of not so great times. It was like the highest highs, the lows matched, right? And I think that the volatility within that was what really like fucked me up. And I was not a good guy. You know, I was nice. I had a good reputation. I was nice to people. That was true. I wasn't good to myself. I wasn't good to my wife. You know what I mean?
Well, your sobriety, it's been about 10 years now. So is it getting harder or does it get easier as it goes along?
Way easier. It's not an option for me anymore. I'm just like, not to sound macabre or dark, but I'd rather put a gun in my mouth than put a drink in my mouth. Because I know, like, the drink is the slow way to a miserable, lonely, isolated death. Not for me. I got way too much great stuff in my life to live for. There's so much in this world that is inspiring, that is lovely, that just fills me, you know? And it's music, it's creative, it's friendships, it's my spirituality, it's my family, it's my children, you know what I'm saying? It's my band, it's my connection with my band, you know? And even at times I want to just, my band drive me crazy, well, something's wrong with me, I got to figure that out.
You know, what I'm trying to do is keep rock music relevant. I'm doing my little 1% of what I can do, you know, and not everybody's going to like it, but it doesn't matter. At least I know I'm doing my part. And there's a lot of bands out there, I think, that have the same thought process of keeping, rock relevant, just like you are.
All right, man. There's a bunch of great artists out right now.
Well, who are you listening to and what bands are catching your attention?
I'm vibing this band Bad Omens. I'm digging them. Beartooth, I'm digging Beartooth. I'm digging Bring Me the Horizon. I love what Ollie and the boys are doing. I just met this young producer, Morgoth. He's kind of dipping in a lot of these different spaces. He's working with like Zillikami. He's working with Scarlord, but then he's also working with MGK. So he's one of these up and coming producers that's popping off. I dig him and what he's up to. Who else? Then I'm kind of going old school, you know? It's like I'm back on that rage tip again, you know?
Well, friend, that's going to about wrap it up for now. But, you know, you are welcome here anytime you want to come down and talk, buddy.
Yeah, let's do this again.
I got you on here, you know, and you're a fun guy. I just wanted to gas you up a little bit while I had you on here, you know?
I appreciate it, man.
My friend, it's been a lot of fun, and you're welcome here anytime, like I said. So, and thank you so much for giving me your time today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
There you have it, folks. Mr. Papa Roach himself, Jacoby Shaddix. Pick up the new album, Ego Trip, today at Amazon, Apple Music, or on the Papa Roach website. We'll be glad you did, I promise. Now, here's how you can get a hold of me. You can contact me through anchor.fm if you want to leave a voice message. You can email me at therockzone360@gmail.com. That's therockzone360@gmail.com. Or you can catch us on the website at rockzone360@wordpress.com. That's rockzone360@wordpress.com. As always, everybody, love music. Continue to seek out new music. Love each other and be kind to each other. And please support your own local music scene. I'll see you next week. Bye-bye.